Ankh will now lead us in the Bible readings. It's from the book of Revelation, Revelation 9, verse 1 to 11, and then also Luke 10, from the verses 17 to 20.
Our first reading is from Revelation chapter 9, starting at verse 1. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not kill them, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. In appearance, the locusts are like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces, and their hair like women's hair. Their teeth like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as king over them the angel from the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. Our second reading comes from Luke 10, starting at verse 17, 20. Luke 10, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So far the reading from God's word.
Our text verse is from Luke 10, verse 18. And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And the topic, the angels are with us, that's the topic of last week, and so are the fallen angels. That's my focus this week, and so are the fallen angels. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, last week we have heard that God created angels. Their task is to honor him, obey him, as his servants. They are made to serve God and to protect those who will inherit salvation. And he has created the angels good, that they might be his messengers and serve the elect. But some of them had fallen, and are so corrupt that they are enemies of God and everything good. Why am I writing about angels in the teaching sermon? I want to make it clear that in less than 2 weeks we will celebrate Christmas. My sermon next week, Lord willing, will be from Luke 2. That's the evening sermon, where the angels saw how God's plan to restore his glory and destroy sin came in fulfillment, where they praised God and gave glory to him. And they brought the message and a solution of peace to the shepherds as the first messengers. And a second reason is that we read last week in 2 Peter 2 verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. 2 Peter 2 is such a rich passage. Essential to understand what Peter meant when he wrote about the angels that were cast into hell, committed to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. And so the confessions are always in line with the word. We confess in confession, Belgian Confession Article 12. Some of them had fallen from the excellence in which God created them into eternal perdition. The others have existed and remained in their original state by the grace of God. The devils and evil spirits are so corrupted they are enemies of God and of everything good. They lie in wait for the church and every member of it like thieves, with all their power to destroy and spoil everything by their deceptions. And so then, by their own wickedness, they are condemned to everlasting damnation, daily awaiting their torments. I think it's quite an interesting topic. It's difficult, because you look into the throne room of God through his word. And what do we know about the fallen angels? From Peter's teaching so far, and the Belgic confessions, we know that the fallen angels are awaiting eternal damnation. We also know from Jesus' teaching in Matthew 12 about Satan's kingdom. Satan, who is Lord of this world, Lord of the devils, who tried from the beginning to defy God's kingdom. We also know that there was a rebellion in heaven where he was cast out, together with a third of the angels who rebelled against God. These are the fallen angels. An idea of one third of the angels falling from heaven is found in Revelation 12 verse 4. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And they are the fallen angels that Peter talked about in 2 Peter 2 verse 4. Let us reread this, because this will give us an insight to understand our text in Revelation. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. The angels who sinned were angels in heaven before the creation of the earth. We know that they were in heavenly places, for it was from heaven that they were cast down to hell by the right hand of God. The church reformer Augustine talks about the first fall in heaven. These angels sinned against God. Their fellowship was with God and with angels like themselves. Yet, they were undergoing a test. They were made capable of choosing evil to determine if their hearts were steadfast with their God. Same test as Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But with one difference, there was nothing to tempt them. On the contrary, they were surrounded by every good and holy influence. They saw God and lived with him. And their daily engagements were all of holy order, worship and service were their duty and delight. They were not only in a paradise, but in heaven with God himself. And yet sin entered into the host of angels. A rebellion led by the archangel Lucifer himself, who became conceited through pride, ambition, and I fell into all eternity, waiting for eternal damnation. Lucifer, and with him a third of the angels. And however great Lucifer was, he became the snake, the son of man, of this earth, the son of the morning, Apollyon, or Abaddon, the destroyer, the deceiver, who opposes God's church and God himself in his pride. Beloved, and we need to understand world history, and we move now to the second phase in world history, which is the birth of Jesus. In the Old Dispensation, Old Testament, the Lord allowed Satan to accuse his people. Zechariah 3 verse 1 to 5, the Lord gives the prophet Zechariah a vision of Joshua, the high priest. And in verse 1, Satan came to accuse Joshua of his sin. The Lord rebukes Satan in this verse, reminding the devil that he has snatched Joshua from the fire of judgment. The Lord then clothes Joshua with a clean robe. That's verses 3 to 5, which points forward to God's clothing of his people with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Another example would be Job, when Satan came to accuse Job, and the Lord defended Job. But when Christ was born, everything changed again. Matthew 8, verse 28 to 29. Matthew reminded us that even the demons acknowledged that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They were now on earth. Satan and all his demons. But it's also a solemn reminder that it's possible to acknowledge Christ with your lips and not to acknowledge him with your heart. It's possible to profess Christ without possessing him in your heart. Possible to claim to be a follower of Christ and not a follower of Christ in deeds. And that's the exact point that Peter made in 2 Peter 2. And so a long time ago, the commentator Matthew Henry said, it's not knowledge but love that distinguishes believers from devils. Demons is the firstborn of hell that knows Christ and yet rejects him and will not be subject to him and to his law. And we do well to reflect upon that truth when we realize who Jesus is, that Jesus is the very Son of God. And then the event that changed everything happened. The presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, born to bring our salvation, to die on the cross, was bound to draw the most ferocious attack of Satan to withstand the coming of the kingdom of God. And Satan failed. Satan failed on the cross. Before that, he tried to tempt Jesus. He did everything. He did everything to kill Jesus with his birth. Think of Herod. Nothing succeeded. And our Lord Jesus Christ was the victor over the cross, over sin and death, and the devil lost. And then Jesus described what he saw in Luke 10, verse 18 to 20. I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread onto serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Satan lost even his standing to accuse the believers before God. And that all happened when Jesus was crucified for our sins, when he said, it is finished. The success also of those commissioned disciples, especially those authority over spirits, caused Jesus to speak of the fall of Satan, where Satan fell as quick as lightning from heaven. And still, the last thing that a devil wants to have is that a gospel should be preached and brought to the nations. He will do everything in all means, but God's comfort, Jesus' comfort, is that we belong to him. Our names are written in the book of life. And so Satan's fall was God's judgment upon the rebellious angels. And that's the first fall of Satan, the one in heaven. Though not complete judgment, it still awaits. And every time the kingdom of Jesus is presented in truth and power, it's like another judgment upon Satan who share his rebellious spirit. So that the famous preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "So where the gospel is preached with divine power, Satan comes down from his throne in human hearts and human minds as rapidly as the lightning flash falls from heaven and we see his kingdom shaken. Then like Jesus, we rejoice in spirit." Before the time of the New Testament church, in the time of the New Testament church with Jesus' death, Satan lost his place as accuser before the throne of God. And at this time, he is now waging war against God's elect. That's Revelation 12. But only in what he has allowed. Satan and the demons are bound. They cannot touch the believer who is sealed before God. And the image of that is Revelation 7. Also, Revelation 12, 1 Peter 5. Revelation 7, we see an image of God's elect in heaven, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." There's a beautiful thing here, that Revelation 7 is before Revelation 9, which we will come just in a minute. God protects his children. This is in line with Jesus' words, that your name is in the book of life. And in heaven, the angels and the church were standing around the throne, the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God. And so God's church was first sealed before the last event. And that's the last event of Revelation 9. Revelation 9 is the final event before our Lord Jesus Christ's return. John saw in Revelation 9 that a star had fallen from heaven to earth. That's the last mention or falling of Satan. There's actually four in the word of God. And Satan was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. This bottomless pit is hell. And that was what Peter was talking about. In Revelation 20, it's described with an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he sees the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, threw him into the pit and shut it, and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Revelation 9 describes that little while that need to happen. And there are different interpretations about the timing of events, about the end times. But the Reformed view, or the view of the Belgic Confession, and Peter in his letter as well, is that we, Christ Church, are living in 1,000 years of peace, where Satan and the demons are bound by change. And this is the time after Christ's victory on the cross. And that 1,000 years is a determined time, determined by God himself. It's peace because the gospel of peace is proclaimed. God limits Satan and the demons in what they can do. They cannot stop the preaching of the gospel of peace. And that's what Jesus described as well in Luke. They are in the bottomless pit of damnation, awaiting the eternal judgment of God, which will come with the return of Christ. And then for a short time, Revelation 20 tells us there will be a time of hardship. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that God had shortened this for the believers. God will give Abaddon, or Apollyon or Satan, the destroyer, the key to the bottomless pit, to release the demons. In that time, it will appear if the church is dead. Revelation 11. And the two witnesses' bodies, the Spirit and Word, will lie into the city of Jerusalem. What's very striking is that God gives Satan that key. And it means that God has authority. If God does not give it to Satan, nothing can happen. Same how God allowed him with Job. And God gives Satan a key to release the demon with one purpose. The demons with one purpose. That chain that bound them. To punish the nations because of their unrepentant hearts. And then Satan, in that last period, opened the shaft of the bottomless pit. And from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the smoke from the shaft darkened the sun and air. And hellish powers will fill the earth. And they will receive the control like the power of scorpions to torment people for 5 months, but not to kill them. We should not be afraid. There's a great comfort for God's people who are sealed in Revelation 7. Only the people who will not have the seal of God will be tortured. God's church, his people, will be safe. How the Lord protect and will protect them, we don't know yet. But Jesus comforted in Luke 10, I have given you the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Great comfort for believers, but a warning for people who still don't believe in Jesus Christ. This is a calling to repentance. There will come a time when it will be too late. And the suffering you will endure will be horrendous. We also know that suffering will come from the bottomless pit of hell in that time. And that's when Satan and his demons receive authority over the key to the bottomless pit. There will be no rest and peace for the people on earth. But we should never forget that this will happen under God's providence. That God is still in control. And that believers can have all peace and know that they will have nothing to fear over the power of Satan. Jesus said when he conquered death in Matthew 28 verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Where we are now, this time, we still have a little time so that the preaching of the gospel can continue. Although we see now the times are getting more complicated, it's a good indicator for our Lord to come. We're also privileged to know the end of God's revelation, the last page, that Jesus will return, that his people will live in all eternity with him in peace. Jesus is coming and his invitation stands, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. But the devil and the fallen angels or the demons can also know that they will be thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20. Beloved, we can have many conversations about this and maybe many sermons about this, about what the Lord revealed to us in his word. But I want to conclude that God's elected angels gave glory to God when Jesus was born, Luke 2. Following his birth, the angels declared the glory of God, and the glory of God was his plan in all eternity. Why the angels were created, why people were created. And angels saw when Jesus was born, realized that a fulfillment of his glory was now with the birth of Christ. The glory of God is also your purpose. You were made for a purpose. And your purpose is to glorify God through your life. God created us so that people might rightly know Him, love Him, and live with Him in eternal happiness to worship and praise Him. This is the purpose of life. The fallen angels failed in their calling. They are awaiting damnation. There's no chance for them. What should we do? Pray and put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 5:10-20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over His present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Should we be afraid of the devil? Never. We serve a risen King. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that we can know and receive some insight in Your plan. Also, what happened in the history, even before this earth was created. The reason why we were created, and the angels, and that's to glorify You. We also thank You, Lord, that we can know that the end will be glorious, and that we will live in all eternity with You in peace. That we know, and when we see the devilish forces on this earth, that we don't have to be afraid, because You are in control. You are the Lord above all. Now, Lord Jesus Christ has already conquered on the cross, and Satan has no standing. And that's why He is waging war, like Your servant Peter said in 1 Peter 5, like a roaring lion here on earth. But we also know that You are protecting Your church, that the gates of hell will never conquer over Your church. Father, we pray for Your church in Blaxland. We pray that we will be faithful in preaching the gospel, explaining Your word, that we will always be faithful in the proclamation of the gospel, calling people to repentance and faith. In Jesus' name, amen.